lot of people that wonder why they're here. What's life about? The songwriter answered it. We were created to worship you, O Lord. We were made, another song says, we were made to serve the Lord. And that's all a part of the same thought. We were made to that our lives would bring glory to God. And I believe that when a person experiences true salvation, not religion, but true salvation, that becomes our desire. We may not know a lot about it. We may not understand how that all aspects of our lives can become worship. The secular job, the home, as much as the church, all of it can be worship to God when our hearts are in right relationship to Him. And we do it as unto the Lord. But that's what we were created for, to worship God. I appreciate the song. I appreciate each one being here tonight. And I invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Isaiah 54 and verse 5. Isaiah 54. I'm going to read verses 5 through 10. And I'll comment upon the context in just a moment. For thy maker is thine husband. Now obviously he's speaking to the church, that's the bride. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. Thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies, I want you to catch these words, with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. There is one scripture, and I forgot Rachel to put it in, but in Psalms 50, 2 and verse 8, the psalmist says, I will trust in the mercies of the Lord. I will trust in the mercies of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you this evening for your great mercy upon us. Mercies, Lord, that are so far beyond our finite understanding. As you reminded us this morning, we are only here by your mercy, alive, breathing your air by your mercy, enjoying this great salvation only by the mercy of God. And Lord, we know that it is your mercy that sustains us, upholds us, and that will keep us. I pray tonight that you would bless your word, that you would open our understanding, open our hearts to be willing to receive and apply what you have for us. For all that you do will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I'd like to reflect a little on this passage in Isaiah 54. Still, obviously, with our hearts upon the thought of mercy. In these verses, this word mercy is found again three times. But it's from those words in Psalm 52:8 that I want to borrow those words for our subject tonight, where the psalmist says, I will trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. The subject that I want to use from those words is trusting in God's mercy. Trusting in God's mercy. The Lord reminded me when it comes to this subject that a lot of the ideals that we in the church have about the mercy of God seem to be focused more around the past than upon either the present or the future. We normally refer to God's mercy in past tense. We talk about how in mercy God saved me. He had mercy on me. We talk about past deliverances and how God in His mercy delivered me from this or that. In mercy, He brought me through the fires and through the flood, and on we could go. We refer to a lot of things in our past experience. And certainly, I agree, we ought to praise God. I said it this morning that, matter of fact, I believe we ought to thank God every day of our lives for His mercy to us. Amen? It is so great and so infinite. We ought to thank Him for what He's, the mercy that's been given, the mercy that's demonstrated in the past in so many days. But the fact is, all of those references that I've just made, they all have to do with days gone by. They all have to do with past. And my burden this evening is it's simple in one way, and it is that we understand, I hope, better tonight that all our hopes for tomorrow, all our dreams of the future, all of the bright outlook that we ought to have for God's people and God's church, all of that for the future needs to be based in the mercy of God. In the mercy of God, that we go beyond thinking only of how we once trusted in God, which is past tense, His mercy, and we move forward with the attitude that is always trusting and will ever trust in the mercy of the Lord. I hope we will see tonight the forward and future emphasis of God's mercy and how that needs to be reflected in our lives. See, real Christian life can't be lived in the past. We're thankful what has been, thankful what God has done, all according to His mercy for us. But real Christian life and the forward progress of the church is not just about how we have trusted in God's mercy, but it's for those who are trusting in the mercy of God, those who will trust in the mercy of God in all the days to come. Now, that distinction may not seem so very obvious, but I hope that you will get it before we leave tonight. Here in Isaiah 54 is a wonderful, a glorious prophecy of the New Testament church. It is. Now, a lot of people believe that this is all about Old Testament Israel, and I won't get into all that, but it is, and I perhaps had a specific context in regards to that generation that Isaiah was speaking to, but the far broader and the far more glorious prophecy is of the New Testament church. She is the bride of Christ. He is our maker and our spiritual husband. And He is reminding us that even though the church has gone through a lot of ups and downs ever since that she came to be, Christ built the church. She has risen up to great heights, and she has had her failures and her times of where she disappointed God and have gone through many times. The church, not just Israel of old, but the church has gone through times of correction, times of chastisement. You're part of the church. You've gone through those times. Amen. And that's what is meant when God said in these verses, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from you." What's He saying? He is talking about those times of correction, those times of chastisement, when we've not always been, and let's face it, the church has not always been what we ought to be. And yet we have this wonderful promise that follows this up, and this is what I hope that you will wrap your heart and your mind around tonight.
when God says, in spite of that, be sure of this, with great mercies I am going to gather thee. Amen. Now that is so wonderful on a broad sense, thinking about God's church, but it is equally wonderful in an individual sense, because the fact is that sin breaks up and disrupts and fragments our lives emotionally and psychologically, relationally, in so many ways. And God is saying to His children that are trusting in Him, it is in great mercy that I'm going to gather you. I'm going to put the pieces back together again in a way that nobody else could ever do. He said, with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee. God is reminding us in these words that all of our hopes for the future rest in His mercy. Amen? I don't know if you've thought about this in this context. I had not looked at it in this particular light, but it was a blessing to me. But again, I say, it is not just to those who once trusted the past, but this is the message for those who are trusting in the mercy of God, those who are determining, by the grace of God, I will tomorrow and all of my tomorrows be trusting in the mercy of God. I will always and ever trust in the mercy of God. Amen? See, that's, and to use the words of the psalmist in verse 52 and verse 8, and I'm not going to dwell there, but that is why he could be like a green olive tree. That's why he could always be alive and vibrant and fresh, because it's not just something that happened in the past. I thank God that he had mercy on me back then, but I am trusting in Him today. And that's what brings that life and that vitality to our Christian life, that we are trusting today in the mercy of God. I tried to make that distinction this morning, that it wasn't only as a sinner that we saw and believed and trusted in the mercy of God, but we have to now, as saints of God, trust every day in the mercy of God. Because it is only through mercy that we live. It is only through His mercy that we have this great salvation. It'll only be through His mercy that we make heaven our home. All by the mercy of God. I'm reminded often when I see what's going on in our world, in the religious world, that a lot of people, a lot of believers, are hanging their heads in a sense, because they are so focused upon what's going on in the world, and there are a lot of bad things happening in our world. There's a lot of chaos, a lot of trouble. We all know all that. And those kind of people, sometimes, you know, when your head is hanging down, you don't understand when you look at the guy next to you and his head is up and he's looking with a smile on his face and he has a bright outlook and a cheerful countenance, and his heart is filled with hopes for tomorrow and for the future that is before us. The man that has his head hanging down, he don't understand that man. And I'll tell you that there are a lot of, I believe, even sincere believers whose heads are hanging down and they're weary in their spirit, and they've almost lost hope because of what they see in the world around us. And they look at the few believers who are looking forward and they're trusting in God and they're determining that they're going to keep trusting in God. And because their trust is in the mercy of God, they know that there is a bright and a glorious outlook for us in all the days ahead. Let's be those kind of lights in our communities, amen, in our church, in our families. Let's not be the one that's hanging their head and saying, woe is me, but let's be the one that's looking toward the future and saying that I am trusting in the mercy of God, and I have a glorious hope and a bright outlook for the future, not just of my life, but for the future of God's church in this world. Now, I'll grant you, doesn't seem to be a lot of those in this world, but I challenge you tonight to, by the grace of God, to step up and be that kind of Christian. See, the difference is, and that's what I'm trying to get across tonight, the one group can say, I have trusted in the mercy of God, and it's past. But the other group says, I'm trusting, and I'm going to trust in the mercy of God.
There is a vast difference. You know, we're in an area that I think, if you could get an honest answer out of people, most people, certainly the church members in our area, they would also, oh yeah, I trusted in the mercy of God. But that's not what it's about. In fact, are you trusting in the mercy of God? Salvation is a present tense experience. Are you determined by the grace of God? Like the psalmist said, I will trust in the mercy of God. No matter what comes tomorrow, no matter what the future holds, no matter if we face the challenges that many people believe that are coming our way, and they may come, but they do not deter my hope for what God is going to do, because our future is not based on what we can do or man can do. It is based in the mercy of Almighty God. And so the ones who are trusting in God's mercy, their hearts are filled with hope and bright expectation, because they're not looking to what man can do. They are looking to what only God himself is able and willing to do. Hallelujah. See, if I had to look around, and I read quite a lengthy article yesterday about some of the things happening in religion and particular movement, and if I had to pin my hopes upon what men's religious organizations are doing, I would be dragging in this place every service, just like, because I do not trust in what the arm of flesh is doing. Amen. I do not trust in the religious organizations of men and what they can accomplish. We need not trust in any of the things we are seeing happening on a human level. You know, for people, whatever political affiliation, and I'm not getting into that, but whatever we may see happening, this little good thing, that little good thing, God help us that we don't put our trust in that. Men are always going to let you down. But the ones who have that bright hope and that expectation that is filled with the glory, thoughts of glory, God's glory, the glory of the church, dear one, their trust is not in what men can do, but it is in the greatness of God's mercy to us. I want to keep trusting in the mercy of God. I want to always and ever trust in the mercy of God. Now, just one example to hopefully illustrate this a little. Most of you know that, I mean, I've had a burden for 5 or 6 years now to, and I believe it's from God, to try to reach out and seek spiritual unity with other believers in this community. I believe it is important. I believe it is a call of God that we be one and we show the world that we are one body of believers by the love we have one to another. I believe that burden is founded upon Scripture. And because of that, we've been trying to promote community prayer meetings at first and community services. And this has been going on a few years now, and we've had some ups, and if you don't know it, we've had some downs. I mean, this past year has been a down. And even though I'm encouraged generally by these things happening, I mean, I'm looking forward to next month, July, another community service. But my hope for the future of the church is not based on what I see in this little, you know, this little effort in one little community. My hope is founded upon what God himself says in Isaiah 54:7. Because he is looking at something bigger than just Atlanta, Texas, or Queen City, or Cass County, or the United States. He says that the time is coming that I, God himself, in my great mercies, I'm going to gather thee. I'm going to gather my children into one. Oh, I get excited thinking about this. That in the mercy of Almighty God, something that is bigger than all that man can do and the strivings of men, the religious organizations of men and all the mechanisms of men. Something bigger than all of that one day is going to happen, and that is God Almighty is going to reach out his arms, and in mercy, he is going to gather his chosen one into one body. Hallelujah. It's going to be glorious. But you see,
Too many people that are a part of the church, and I'm not talking about the hypocrites and things, but I mean sincere people. They're too hung up on the past. You know, a lot of things have happened in the past in religion. There have been a lot of division, a lot of strife, a lot of contention, you know, all that junk that goes on in the visible church. But I'll remind you again, God's desire is not that we keep our eyes fixed on the past. Amen? See, that I remember that several years ago, this dear brother, he made quite an extensive study and laid out a chart and presented it to a bunch of ministers about all the divisions and splits and problems and the whys and the wherefores and who went there. And I'm like, in my spirit, I just smiled. I thought, brother, you have wasted hundreds of hours of time because nobody cares about why they fought in the past. Amen? I just looked at it about 3 seconds and laid it down and have never, ever picked it up. I'm not going to dwell on the past because I know as I read God's Word and as the Spirit of God ministers to me that the God that I serve has greater things for His church, for His people, than that junk that happened in the past. Amen? See, this is not a church that belongs to some man and man can put his label upon it. This is the church of the living God. I'm not talking about the Church of God movement or this church. I'm not talking about denominational. I'm talking about the church that Jesus built, the church that God Himself, it belongs to Him, dear one. His church has a glorious future. Why? Because He is our maker. He is our husband. He is the one that said, "In great mercies will I gather thee." You see, any of them could have, and they may have in times past, and you know, the Pope could say it tomorrow, make a big announcement and tell the world that, you know, that as far as the Catholics are, as far as regards them, he said, "I'm going to begin to gather thee." Well, that would move me one iota. I wouldn't go to wake up or be, you know, bothered about or anything, because he's a man just like me, except that he's not right with God. He needs to get saved. That's the difference. It don't move me if a man says that. If President Biden were to say, "Oh, we're going to try to come together and gather all this division," that don't move me at all, because I know what man can and can't do. But I've just read to you tonight what God Almighty, our Creator, the Omnipotent One, the One that made heaven and earth, what He said. He said, "He who is infinite in mercy and power and wisdom," He said, "in great mercies I'm going to gather thee." Hallelujah. That gives me such hope. Oh, it thrills my heart to think. It tells me that I don't need to be hung up on what happened in the past and why this group left that group and that brother, you know, fell out with that brother. I don't need to get in. I'm not even going to waste my time thinking about it. I'm going to keep trusting God and keep, by the grace of God, endeavoring to trust Him every day, His mercy for the future that is before me. God desires that the eyes of His people be on the future. Amen. Because it is through the greatness of His mercy. He is going to do more than our feeble little minds can even imagine. Amen. Brother Chris, I got a big imagination. I think that too. You know, I think compared to other people, I have a pretty big imagination. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But I'll tell you that the mind of man cannot even comprehend. Amen? Does the Bible tell us that? God just tells us, and I'm paraphrasing, you can't wrap your mind around the glory that I have in store. Amen? So, you probably figured it out by now. I'm not like most today that have a very cynical outlook for the future of God's church. I'm filled with hope because my hope for tomorrow, my hope for the future
It all rests in the mercy of God.
I'm not looking at, oh, if we can finally get the Church of God movement, or if the Baptists can get their act straightened up, or the Nazarenes, or the Pentecostals, or if they can just get their, you know, if man can somehow get to a place where we become worthy and we deserve God's blessing, then, no, I'm trusting in the mercy of God.
Trusting what only God in His mercy can do, is willing to do, and with all my heart I believe is going to do. Amen. But I want to bring it down a little closer. I've talked about the church in general, because I believe that what is true of the church in general can also be true for every individual who is willing to live their life trusting in the mercy of God. Amen. See, when the Bible said that these things, the Old Testament, those wonderful stories and all the ups and downs, they happened for and were written for our examples. That wasn't just written so the preachers today could stand and talk about the church. They were written for my example as an individual, for your example as an individual. And so what is true of the church, God said of the church in Isaiah 54, He says of our individual lives and great mercies will I gather thee. Amen. Those who are willing to trust in the mercy of God. Now, I bring this up because I know this to be true, that there are a lot of believers today who I feel they have trusted Christ for salvation, and in that sense, they have trusted the mercy of God, mercy upon their sins. But the fact is, and this is it's a sad reality that can be removed when we get into God's Word and believe what He says, but the reality for them is, in their mind, they have little or no hope for the future, no hope for tomorrow as far as their life in this world. They are so bound by the past, so tied up to the past that they cannot even envision. They're thankful that in mercy Christ sought them out and saved them, and they're trusting Christ for salvation, but they have not yet reached the point. They can't yet envision that the God who had mercy upon their sins has a brighter day for them ahead, has a glorious future for them, has, you know, that God would say of their life in this present world, of the days and weeks and months and years ahead, brighter days are sweetly dawning. Amen. It's a lot of people that, I don't mean just one or two here or there, I mean a lot of people. Because they still look at things on a human level, and they read what humans are writing and men and women are saying, that because I have experienced all this damage by either my life of sin or the sins of others around me, the abuse and the destruction that has come into my life, there is no going on. You know, I believe by faith in Christ and the mercy of God I'll make heaven, but life's never going to get better in this world. You may be surprised how many struggle with those things. They do not have hope for a better tomorrow. And it's sad because they have failed to understand this very basic truth, that God's mercy is so great. I can't get this across. My arm's not wide enough. I don't have big enough wingspan, Brother Bubba. God's mercy is so great that not only does the mercy of God pardon and forgive the sins of the past, but listen to this, and I'm about done. In the mercy of God, He opens new opportunities and new doors. He gives second chances, hallelujah, for our tomorrows and our future. Only the mercy of God can do that.
See, this would be like, and I don't have this written down, it just comes to mind, that criminal that I talked about. You know, there have been those that have been even sentenced to death and things that their sentence has been commuted, and the governor of the president has sent down a pardon, and they have taken that, and by the mercy of that individual, they're able to go out. Well, it's one thing to leave prison with a pardon, but it's another thing to get out there and start life. But what I'm talking about is then the I'm talking about a God whose mercy is so great, it like the governor coming along and saying, let's set up new shop. Let's put you in a new place. Let's get you a new job. Let's get you fixed up. Let's set your life on a new path in a new direction. That's what the mercy of God does for us. And a lot of people have not realized that the mercy of God is so much more vast and encompassing than their little minds have understood. They believed, and by faith, they believed in the pardoning, forgiving mercy of God, but they have not yet understood that the mercy of God is so great that it will reshape their entire future. Hallelujah. Amen. See, I can tell you today as an individual, I'm only here by the mercy of God. I don't just mean alive, breathing God's air. I don't just mean saved, but I mean preaching the gospel and having a wonderful wife and a family and a church family and part of God's family. I'm only here by the mercy of God. He changed my life. He didn't just forgive me and pardon me and leave me there. He began to reshape and remold my life and to give opportunities to open doors. He reshaped my future through His mercy. Amen. He did. Amen. You see, maybe some people, and we get hung up on this, because, you know, one of the traps of the devil is, even before people get saved, is if I can just become good enough. You know, I've heard people say that, you know, I just got this foul tongue, Brother Chris. When I can quit cussing, then I'll come to church. Well, you're probably going to die lost. Amen. We sing that song, and it was God inspired to be written because this, God says, come just as you are. But what we need to proclaim to the church today is we come to God just as we are, but we don't leave the same. Hallelujah. But even after we get saved, oh, God's done so much for me. He forgave me of all that sin in the past. So I need to start making myself a better person. I need to start earning my way and earning my keep. And oh, yes, it's very real in the church. And let me tell you, as long as you operate like that, you're never going to earn enough. We're never going to get good enough. But when we realize that God in heaven, who loves us, sent His Son to die for us, says, I'm the one that will put your life together. I'm the one that will gather thee as an individual to make you, remake you into who I created you to be. I will do that, and I will do that not according to your merit, but I will do that according to my mercy. This is why we're all going to fall before Him one day. There's going to be no flesh glory in His presence, because it is all by the mercy of God. Every soul that inhabits heaven will be bowing before God saying, according to thy mercy you saved us, not by works of righteousness, not by my goodness. It is all by your mercy. Oh, God provides opportunities, second chances for His trusting children, those willing to keep trusting in His infinite mercy. So wonderful, it will amaze us. And I'll tell you, when I think of my life sometimes, because better than any of you, better than anyone except God, I know what I deserved. I can tell you that as a 26-year-old man, that day before I come to the Lord, I was worthy of hell. I was. But God, in His mercy, sought me out, called to me, picked me up from that old miry pit of sin. Amen? God, in mercy, did that for me. I can remember so vividly thinking as I sat there that morning wondering how I got there in church. Had no intention when I woke up to go to church. The mercy of God got me cleaned up, dressed, and to the church. I don't even remember. I'm just, you know, there, and all of a sudden, Brother Kelly is preaching from Luke 15 about the prodigal, and I've told part of that testimony. But I remember as my heart was just melting because I knew of all those people there, God in heaven was speaking to me. And I told God in my heart, I just waiting for him to get done preaching, the longest message I ever heard him preach. It was only, you know, a normal hour, whatever. But I was just waiting because I was ready to hit that altar. And I kept repeating to God, I know I'm not worthy. I don't even expect you to treat me like these other good people. If you'll just accept me like a stepchild, but if you'll forgive my sins, and I meant it, but I found out God does not have any stepchildren. Amen. That not one of them, not a saint of God anywhere, has or is what they are by their own merit. We are what we are by the grace and the mercy of God. That was the mercy of God that saved me. You see, it's not because Brother Chris became some outstanding saint right away that he got the best girl in the church at West Bend. Yes, I did. It was by the mercy of God that he sent me, Sister Vicky. It was by his mercy. Now, you all don't know it. You've been around me 20 years that I'm not deserving of her. I mean that. I know it better than you. That was by God's mercy. You know, there wasn't nobody set out a program and said, if you do this, this, and this, and, you know, you'll move up and advance and maybe you can earn some points here. No, it was God's mercy. Mercy. And in case you don't know, the same reason that I'm up here preaching tonight, it's not because that you know, I was this or that or became this or did that or anything. It was because God in mercy said, I believe I can use that lump of clay. God in mercy. God in mercy called me to this great privilege to minister his word and equip me and talk to me. God in mercy does that. Day after day, I wonder at the mercy of God. Lord, you keep speaking to me and talking to me. Why? I'm not worthy. And I mean those things. It's according to his mercy. And I'll tell you, when anybody ever gets to the point, like a lot of preachers are today, that they think they're worthy, they're educated enough, they're talented enough, they've got enough training, they're ready. They are the one God can't use. Amen. And it's the same in any calling of life. I mean, where God is involved, it's according to mercy. So tonight I'm going to leave this with you, but I want to encourage you. Don't ever try to base your tomorrow upon your past. Amen. That's the devil's business. He wants all of your future to be tied to your past. God asks us tonight to base our future on his mercy. A willingness to trust in his mercy always. To learn, see, we got to learn to live every day with this attitude. Don't get up tomorrow thinking, well, back, you know, September so and so, I trusted in God's mercy. No, get up tomorrow and say, Lord, I am trusting in your mercy today. Amen. It's the only way you're going to make it in victory. But learn to look forward with that same attitude. for your life personally, for those that you love and care about that are so far from where they should be, for the church, for our nation. Let your hopes for the future be with this same spirit and attitude. I am trusting in the mercy of the Lord. And we'll have a brighter hope. Amen. Let's not be tied to the past. Let's trust in the mercy of God. As we stand tonight and sing this old closing hymn, maybe it doesn't seem to go so much with this message, but I've had it on my heart for several weeks. Father, thank you for this time.